Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits. Your courage and devotion to a dream are an inspiration to everyone in the 21st century marketplace.
We are back at 13 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. If you'd like to give us a call, make a comment, ask a question, say hello, agree or disagree with me. 888-822-8255 is the number. Beverly N. Menebel is our good friend and our guest this hour. She is a speech-language pathologist who specializes in adult interaction. She received her bachelor's degree of science in speech and hearing with high honors and her master's of art in speech-language pathology from the University of Tennessee. She is the founder and CEO of TLC, Talk, Listen, Communicate. She is the author of a book I'm holding in my hand, which I like a lot, Talk Is Not Cheap, Saving the High Cost of Misunderstanding at Work in the Home, and a brand new tape that I'm holding in my hand that I've been listening to, Set Your Own Attitude and Altitude. Beverly N. Menebel, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's great to be back.
It's good to have you back with us, and I'm really excited about what you want to talk to us about today, because my audience knows for some reason we always try to have a good spirit on the show and try to promote a strong spirit and having a good attitude. But for some reason, the last two or three weeks, we've just had quite a bit of discussions, or at least partial discussions, part of our interviews, I guess I should say, if not all of them, have been about these subjects. And I really like that, because attitude is something that I think that's an undervalued commodity in the marketplace. Don't you?
I agree. I believe that you are what you say you are, mm-hmm. what you think you are.
I like so, you have, there's a quote that you have on your tape about the prophet. Tell us, do you remember that?
About the prophet?
You said something about if you believe things are going to be bad, you're probably going to wind up being a prophet.
Oh, that's right. That's absolutely.
Or if you say that enough, I've forgotten exactly how you said it, but I thought that was pretty good.
That's right.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's just so many great leaders of the world and theologists who I quote in this tape. To me, it's very motivational that if all of these people thought attitude was so important, then I better pay better attention to it.
Right. I see. Talk to us about the two emotions that you recommend we zero in on when it comes to spending time.
There are two emotions that I very firmly believe people should not put any time or thought to. And one of them is worry, and the other one's guilt.
Oh, boy.
You're
starting the middle now a little bit.
Well, think about all the mind time you spend on worry and guilt. The reason you shouldn't spend any time on worry is, hey, it may not happen, and it's just a negative programming. So you're robbing yourself of today worrying about tomorrow.
I have found that I have had things that were happening in my small business, and folks, and those of you who are actually in small business, who actually own small businesses right now, know exactly what I'm talking about. You have something that's coming up, and you work yourself into such a frenzy because you believe that you already know how bad it's going to be, and then when it gets here, it's not even close. It's not nearly as bad, or if bad at all, especially compared to what you were thinking.
That's right, and you can make yourself physically ill.
Mm-hmm.
You can make yourself grumpy.
Certainly unproductive.
Right. So, you know, if you can do something to make a correction, go ahead. Definitely do that. I'm not saying don't think about tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying don't spend your time in this dark cloud of worry about something that may never come, because you rob your energy of today. You will be less effective today because you're worrying about tomorrow.
Well, one thing you can do is to make sure that you've covered your bases. Make sure you've done everything you can do to minimize whatever it is that you're worried about. And once you get to that point, then you can have the satisfaction, and I think the peace of mind of saying, well, I've done everything I can do. There's nothing else that I know to do, so there's no sense in worrying about it.
That's right. That's very good. And I do believe that the other emotion is just as robbing, and that is guilt. And that's where we've got our mind in the past, and we're feeling bad, and we're just kicking ourselves over something we didn't do. Oh, that customer, I should have done this. I should have known.
Right.
And the fact is, you blew it. You made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Make restitution if you can. See what you can do with that customer to get him back, to apologize, to whatever it's going to take, and then let it go. Do not let it enter. Keep entering your mind and occupying your thoughts of today.
I like something that our friend Tom Feltenstein says. I don't think it was his original idea. I think he quoted this from someone else, but I don't remember where. But he said, a mistake is successfully finding what doesn't work.
Oh, I love that.
Isn't that great?
No, I'm very successful.
Yeah, exactly. I've got lots of successes, don't you? No, that's the way to look at it. You know, I think that's a great way to look at it. Guilt. You know, that's an interesting concept. I don't spend a lot of time talking about guilt on this show.
Well, I think people who own a small business, you know, obviously they're going to make mistakes. You know, as you say, Jim, they're the pioneers. They're out there cutting the way, and they're going to make mistakes. And I encourage them. Don't be too hard on yourself. If you made a mistake, own up to it. Do what you can to correct it,
mm-hmm.
and go forward, knowing that you will not make that same mistake again. And that's one of the exciting things about the mistakes we make. I don't know about you. The next mistake may be coming, but it will be different. It will not be the same mistake I just made.
Talk to us about optimism.
Optimism
is something that's not equally created in all people.
No, it's not. There's about 28% of the population in the United States that are naturally optimistic in their personality or behavioral style. They are the ones that always see the silver lining.
There's a pony in here somewhere.
That's right. There's a pony. We've heard the same joke. There's a pony in here somewhere. And, you know, other people look at those 28% and they go, I don't get it. How can this person feel so good in such bad situations?
Do you know, I'm wondering if this has anything to do with this. There's a corresponding percentage of people who accept change and the reciprocal don't accept change. I wonder if that has to do anything with it.
Yes, these same 28% of people accept change
well. They don't mind change. You know, you gave me an interesting statistic a minute ago that I did not know, the 28% optimistic portion of our community. That really made me think about this number that Steve Martin gave us once about people who resist change, and it was almost the same number. In other words, about two-thirds of the people, according to Steve, resist change, and about one-third accept change, and you're saying close to that number are optimistic and close to the resisting change number are pessimistic. And so I'm seeing a connection there.
Right. Well, you know, the people who are not in the 28%, it doesn't necessarily mean they're pessimistic, but it means they're realistic, mm-hmm. which means they're not going to see the bright side. They're going to say, well, this is the way that it is.
They're from Missouri.
Right. Show me. And the rest of them, yes, are pessimistic. Now, if you're not in that 28%, you very well likely may be a person who doesn't, you know, embrace change. You want a little bit of a time to adjust. And I would say, well, there's some things you can do to improve your outlook, even if you didn't get this gift naturally. And one would be, examine the thoughts that go on in your head first thing in the morning. Did you wake up this morning and say, oh, cold? Did you complain about that? Or did you wake up this morning and say, wow, look how pretty the ice is in the tree?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what were your first thoughts? You have a sales call today. Are you pumping yourself up and telling you're going to do your best? Or are you reminding yourself of a mistake or an error that you made last week, last month? You know, what thoughts are you putting through your head? And if they're not helping you, then stop it.
Have you ever had a time in your life when you felt like if the phone rang, it was going to be bad news?
can't say that I have. I'm one of those optimists.
Well, I know, but in small business, people who are out there, you know, really duking it out in the marketplace, on the front lines, they've got their shop open, they've got their small manufacturing company open, they've got their construction company, their farm or whatever. Out there in that kind of small business, that happens all the time. The bank's calling, a vendor's calling and saying, where's my money? A customer's going to call and say, you know, I'm not happy with what you sent me, so I'm not going to pay you. Sometimes you get to the point where you say, you know, I don't even want the phone to ring because I know, I'm afraid that it's going to be something like that. And as you said earlier, you know, it's when you're complaining about it being cold, it's supposed to be cold in January.
Right.
But the thing is, this little thing that I do, and I say this at the end of the hour sometimes, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day.
That's right.
Greet it with a smile. Whenever I find myself dreading a phone call or you know, not wanting the phone to ring, whenever that happens to me, I say that to myself. It might just be an opportunity. Pick up the phone.
Hey, I have a funny story to tell you.
Okay.
There have been many times in the past when I would just be so busy that I had to go into my office, close the door, and I would tell my staff, you know, come in if it's urgent. And I would tell the lady who answers the phone, I'm not here unless it's the White House. Well, I said this for years. I'm not here unless it's the White House. Three years ago.
No.
The White House called.
No.
They did. They invited me to come to a conference because I was a small business that provided child care for employees. It was the funniest moment. I knew they were going to call because I had been pre-warned, but the lady who answers the phone did not. And I heard her say, may I tell her who's calling? The what? So, you know,
that's a great story.
If you ever want a phone call from a particular person or entity, start telling yourself that, it's going to happen. It might just happen.
You say, Norman Vincent Peale, in your tape, you say Norman Vincent Peale talks about changing your thoughts and changing your world.
Yes.
Do you believe that?
Oh, I do. I do believe
it. I do, too.
I do believe it because when our thoughts are many times, if we really get involved in our thoughts, we're actually registering them into a memory, and the right hemisphere of your brain doesn't know the difference between you're really doing this and you're just thinking that you're doing this.
I've quoted you so many times about that. I've said, you know, when you wake up, folks, Beverly Inman Eagle says you got 30 minutes to 2 hours before your left brain wakes up. Your right brain believes anything you say, so get your mind going the right way with your right brain in the morning. Stand by, Beverly. We've got to take a quick break. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Whatever you do, go there and check out the archives, because when you get there, you will be able to find some archives of shows that we have done with our guest this hour, Beverly Inman Eagle, the author of Talk Is Not Cheap, and you will enjoy those there, I promise you, because I go back and listen to them myself, and I enjoy listening to them, believe it or not, and not just to hear myself, because as most of you know, no one really likes to hear themselves talk, but I really like hearing people like Beverly say again what they said. And I've learned a lot myself just by going back and listening to those. But whatever you do while you're there, also sign up for my newsletter. It's free. It comes by email every Sunday, and we've just gotten some great comments back from people who are receiving that, and it looks like we're being very successful with that, and the subscriber list is growing by leaps and bounds, so be sure to check that out, and I'll remind you, it is free. Beverly Inman Eagle, tell us where your book, Talk Is Not Cheap, is available.
Well, it's available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. It also should be in major bookstores, or they can contact us, and the toll-free number is 888-BECAUSE.
All right, because. And I know the book's selling well.
Yes, it is. Do you know that the Amway Corporation just purchased 20,000 copies?
Wow. 20,000. Folks, you heard me say it before. Let's all say it together. Jim Blassingame doesn't have chopped liver on his show. Nothing but the best for my audience. I'll tell you, I'm so impressed and pleased for you, Beverly. And I'm not the least bit surprised, though.
Thank you.
This is a dynamite book, folks. You will not regret owning this book. And you also have a tape, Set Your Attitude and Your Altitude.
Yes.
Tell us how that's available.
That phone number, the 888-BECAUSE. And it's $10 plus $3 shipping.
All right. Sounds good.
And we'll get it out to you
the next day. What if they buy the book and the tape all at the same time? Can we give him a bit of a discount?
We'll give him a discount.
Give him a discount. See, folks, I work hard for your money. Beverly, let's talk about changing our thoughts. How do we turn a thought off?
The first thing we need to do is recognize that it's a negative or limiting thought. And the question
is... Yeah, because we don't want to turn any positive ones off.
No, right. So when you're thinking something, or it might be a thought that someone plants into your brain, ask yourself the question, is this helping me towards my goal?
Mm-hmm.
And if it is not, then stop it. And in the tape, I talk about how to stop it. And you just pick a word, any word, and you say it a couple times. And what that tells your brain is, hey, don't hold on to this one. So it may be stop, stop.
Here's an example. I can't believe I'm so stupid.
Right, stop, stop.
I can't believe that I did that.
Stop, stop.
I can't, you know, after all this time, why would I keep doing these things? And then you say, speak to the hand, right?
Right, stop, stop.
Yeah.
By saying that, what you're doing is you're telling your brain not to put it into your memory storage.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking away that recording of what you said because you don't want to believe it. It's garbage. You know it's really not true. You mad at yourself. You made a mistake.
You tell us, and you have told us before, that when you wake up, you've got some time while your right brain is still is awake. Your right brain wakes up with you, and your left brain sleeps in a little bit. Some people might have trouble really getting themselves the right kind of information. What would you think about this exercise? Write down some positive affirmations and some goals and some things and put it on a sheet of paper, a little post-it note or whatever, and put it by your bed so that when you wake up, you've got those things to sort of get you started. What do you think about that?
That is a wonderful idea, Jim, because until you get in the habit of being positive in the morning, you know, that's great. And when you're writing down these affirmations, you know, make sure they start with the word I. Make sure that they're in the present tense, the here and now. I am happy. I am peaceful. I am prosperous. Not I will be. I make a sale today. Okay? I answer the phone cheerfully. Make it in the present tense, the here and the now. And do read those first thing in the morning. And you may think, oh, well, they're not true. That's all right. Remember, the right side of your brain believes anything you tell it.
Well, remember this. You know, you may wind up being a prophet, as you say.
That's right.
You know, you might be true. But certainly, if one thing I know, I think the forces of evil and negativity are much more automatic than the forces of good are.
That does seem to be so true.
It seems to be. And so we have to work a little harder. We have to be a little smarter about making the positive and the good out there be more a part of our life. All right, now that's the early morning stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you say we can control our thoughts all day long. How do we do that?
Well, I guess I could go back to some very, very old references. One would be the Bible. It says, as a man thinketh, so is he, and
mm-hmm.
as a man chooses, so is he.
Mm-hmm.
And Buddha, before that, even said, all that we have is the result of what we have thought. So guard your thoughts closely.
Mm-hmm.
Now, during the day, when the left part of your brain's awake, you're going to be getting the opinions of other people.
Mm-hmm. That's the Missouri side, right?
Yes. And they may be telling you negative and limiting thoughts, and that doesn't mean you have to buy into it. Just think about it. How many of you out there listening right now have been excited about a new business prospect, a new business plan, perhaps a new product or a product that you're going to rework, remarket, and you share it with somebody and they say, oh, that's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
What makes you think they'll buy that?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you know, you were so eager, you were so optimistic, shall we say, and boy, the bubble burst, and you drag your tail.
Well, I'll tell you want people to be honest with you, but you also want to be talking to people who will realize, you know, that you're asking them for some help, not just to knock you down.
That's right.
And so Noah St. John calls those, the people that you need, loving mirrors, and you need to find those loving mirrors, and the rest of the folks, you need to leave them alone. There you go. Stand by, Beverly. We've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Beverly Inman Eagle is our guest this hour. She's the author of Talk Is Not Cheap. It's an outstanding book, folks. As you heard us say earlier in the hour, it is receiving great reviews, and sales are going very well. And what'd you say? Amway just bought 20,000?
Yes.
They don't spend their money on a whim, folks. They've researched this book very well to find out that that's something they want to spend that kind of money on. And I'm sure you gave them a little bit of a discount.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, but maybe not too much. And she's got an excellent take, Set Your Own Attitude and Altitude. But that's available from your website.
Yes, it is.
And tell us that website again, please.
That website is www.talklisten.com.
All right. Talklisten.com. Okay, let's talk some more about controlling our thoughts. One of the things you say, I know one of the things I like is that you quote Ralph Waldo Emerson, who said, people only see what they're prepared to see. They have their filters, don't they?
Yes.
Do you have filters?
Yes, I do, and I constantly am removing them. First, you have to be aware that you're seeing life through your own filter.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to voluntarily take the filter off and say, is there another way to look at this? Can I get outside the box? How can I grow my business? It doesn't have to be done this way. How would someone else do this?
A long time ago, I saw someone who didn't look like somebody I wanted to know because of the way he looked. And he didn't fit my paradigm or my filter of how I thought someone should look. And so I basically decided that I wasn't going to like that person. I'm talking about many, many years ago. I was a little guy. And within a few weeks, that person became a dear friend. It just so happened. I don't exactly remember how it worked out, but I found out that how I viewed things didn't necessarily make it so.
Right.
And so ever since then, for, 40 years or so, almost 40 years, when I see someone, I don't judge them on how they look anymore. And I remove that filter. That's what you were saying.
Mm-hmm. And you might think of how many opportunities knock on that door for the small business owner, and they don't recognize the opportunity
mm-hmm.
because they're looking for one particular set. And we need to remain open to other possibilities.
One of the things that I've learned, Beverly, that helps me to do that, now I wish I were better at it. I'm still working on this. I'm still constructing this part of my filter removal. When someone proposes something to me, I may initially not like it, and I may have an immediate opinion, which I often do. That's one of my downfalls is I'm pretty opinionated. But what I try to do is to try to introduce one of the interrogatives in front of my next comment, and instead of saying I don't like that, or I don't think I would like that, or that doesn't sound good, I've been trying to say, what is it that you like about that?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think that would mean to me? In other words, using the non-directive type of probes, get those interrogatives, who, what, when, where, how, and why. Get those in front of your next comment, turning it into a question, and that way give that other person an opportunity to help you remove that filter.
Yes, that's excellent. By asking those open questions, you're gathering information and expanding your experience with the idea.
Yeah. And you let them, you get more out of this other person's mind than you were going to, because if you say what I was about to say, you foreclose them from sharing anything more with you, because if they're introduced to your negativity, most of the time people will just clam up, won't they?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
And back to my idea of you see only what you're prepared to see. I wonder how many of us are prepared to see an opportunity today. Have we told ourselves to look out for it, to be on the lookout?
Mm-hmm.
So if we haven't done that, we may miss it. How many times do we say, oh man, I wish I'd done that last year. Well, maybe something happened on that day last year that would have given you the idea if you hadn't been so preoccupied with something else. So a wonderful affirmation, you were talking about, being positive in the
mm-hmm.
morning, is to say to yourself, I find opportunities today.
Write that down, folks. Get your pencil and paper, because this is going to go by your nightstand in the morning.
Write it on a rock.
It's going to go, exactly. Write it on a rock. Put this at your, you've been reading my newsletter, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Put it on the write it on the note and put it by your bed tonight, so that when you wake up in the morning, it says this. Say it again, Beverly.
I find opportunities today.
I like that. That's very, folks.
And
it sounds so simple, but it's strong. It's very powerful.
Then you're expecting them, and so when an idea hits you, you know what your brain will do? Hey, this might be one of those opportunities.
And be sure you read that before the left brain wakes up.
Yes. And for some of you who wake up bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, read it last thing at night, because that means your left hemisphere shuts down in the evening.
I see.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. You know, I like what you're saying about not seeing things, because see, to me, one of the things you got to be careful about when you're looking for this opportunity is making sure that you don't demand that opportunity be exactly what you had in your mind.
That's right.
Take the blinders off. Take the filters off of your eyes and consider the possibilities before you reject something.
You know, there's some studies out there that show that doing things like puzzles or word problems, any of that, is a very good exercise to keep our mind open to new possibilities. That if we don't use our mind strategically, we're going to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no reason for losing your mind as you get older, sort of a disease, except that we don't use that muscle as much as we need to. And so a great exercise is just that, you know, put your toothbrush in a different place. Wear your watch on your right arm instead of your left. I mean, just remind yourself, hey, I'm looking for new ways to do things.
Stand by, Beverly. We're going to have to take a quick break, folks. We'll be right back. The book is called Talk Is Not Cheap, Saving the High Cost of Misunderstanding at Working at Home by Beverly Inman Ebel. And she is our good friend and our guest this hour. We've been talking about making sure that your attitude is right and that it helps you get to the altitude that you want, which is also kind of the topic of our tape that you can get from her website. And give us that address again, Beverly.
That website address is www.talklisten.com.
Talklisten.com. And also give us a phone number quickly.
888-BECAUSE.
888-BECAUSE. All right, good. Thank you. Let's wrap up the hour. Oh, by the way, folks, Beverly is going to join us again on Valentine's Day, on the 14th of February. She's going to come back. We've got some more things to talk about, including, and folks, I love this kind of discussion because I always feel like I'm in a little bit of danger when I'm having this discussion that I'm about to tell you about. We're going to talk about the difference between the male brain and the female brain. And I can't wait for that, Beverly. I was hoping we'd get into it today, but we're going to save that to the 14th because I always feel very excited when I talk about these discussions with women, because I always feel like I might get hurt, you know, talking to...
You might.
I might get into some kind of, and I'll definitely get into some trouble there, for sure. Anyway, but we will have fun, folks. I promise you that. And thank you for agreeing to come back and do the show with us, Beverly. Let's wrap up the hour talking about what you call faking it till you make it.
Yeah. I've had more people ask me, what do you mean by you fake it till you make it? Well, that means if Beverly is not confident that she's going to be able to pull off this sales call, or this product that she's creating, I put a smile on my face, I put my shoulders back, I tell myself I'm capable of doing this, I visualize, I spend a little time daydreaming, seeing it happen very positively, seeing it come, you know, true, And then I go about and work really, really hard. So I'm faking the attitude, so to say, or the confidence, until I actually am confident because I have succeeded. And the reason I do this is I understand the importance of being very positive while you're going through a very doubtful time. You can actually alter the chemistry of your body by focusing your mind and your thoughts on being positive rather than on worry or guilt or negativity. It only makes sense to do it.
It's much more exciting, folks, to believe that you can do something and try it and make it happen when you thought you might not be able to, than it is to have never taken the shot. And go, now we go back to the guilt thing that you talked about earlier. You know, then when it's all over, you say, you know, I might could have done that. I should have taken the shot.
Yeah.
I should have stepped up to the plate. Pardon the mixed metaphors, but I like the fake it till you make it idea. It's another analogy that I use, and I had this in a recent article, is what the aviators call pushing the envelope. Push your own envelope, and you know, as far as the possibilities are concerned, I like that. Fake it till you make it.
Fake it till you make it. And in the tape, I have just a short story about something my father said to me years ago. My parents, you know, always told me, you can do anything you set your mind to, honey. Go on, you can do it. And years later, when I had accomplished something wonderful, my father made a comment that he was just amazed that I had done something. And I just laughed. I thought he was being facetious.
Yeah.
And I laughed and I said, well, Daddy, you and Mama always told me I could do anything I set my mind to do. I'll never forget his response. He stopped and he looked at me and he said, I know, sweetheart, but I was just telling you that. You believed it.
That's right.
I believe it, too.
How about that? That's great. Great story, Beverly. That's got to be the last word. You were great today, as always. We'll see you in a couple of weeks on Valentine's Day. Will you be my Valentine that day?
I will.
All right. See you later, Beverly.
Bye.
Beverly M. Menevil, ladies and gentlemen, the author of Talk Is Not Cheap. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. And remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.